Hey, Wiley Coyote. Well, I'm on your side. Won't you hang in there, brother? You're bound to survive.
Guilty as charged. The coyote that bit the five-year-old a couple of weeks ago has now been positively identified as the coyote that was taken into custody by animal control officers and Chicago coppers on the scene. It is, I suppose, good news that that's the case. But when the city did announce that this was the coyote, they also pointed out that the coyote apparently had been limping, and the result that resulted from a BB gun shot into the coyote's shoulder. So that may have explained the coyote's behavior. Rebecca Fife is with us, and we've had her before talking about this. Fascinating that we now, I never thought as a kid that we'd ever be discussing wildlife like a coyote problem in Chicago, but we have it. You're director of research at Landmark Pest Management, so thank you so much for being with us. So we talked before, a couple weeks ago, this is such an unusual thing to have a coyote bite a human. It's the first recorded case east of the Mississippi, according to another expert that we talked about. So that's pretty unusual.
It's extremely rare. We had a couple of calls last year to our office where people said that a coyote came up close to them or bit at their clothing, and we reported those calls to the Department of Natural Resources, but they weren't able to be substantiated. And it's important that only substantiated cases are counted, because we receive calls every day about coyotes, and when we ask people for a photo, a good portion of them are a neighborhood dog, or some people will report to us that there's a wolf in their yard and that's a coyote. So it's really important that we only take the reports that are verified.
Right. I mean, it can be confusing, but coyotes really do look different. I mean, I think when people look at them and they go, I don't know if that's a coyote or not, it's probably not. Coyotes, when I've seen them in the streets of Chicago, they don't look like, first of all, they're walking by themselves, and they have a weird ambulation. Weird is not the right word, but they have a distinctly different ambulation from a dog.
They definitely do, and they top out around 35 pounds. So when we receive a telephone call for an 80 to 100-pound animal that people think is a coyote, that's definitely not a coyote they're seeing, or maybe they're just, you know, really overestimating the weight of the animal they're seeing.
And they're kind of strangely tall for being so light, too.
Yeah, they're very lanky.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about this particular case. When a coyote now has been determined to have bitten somebody, we were told earlier by animal control that coyote would have to be destroyed, and especially given the fact that it had already been shot in the shoulder, that probably is how that has to go down, although we've not gotten confirmation of that yet. Would you anticipate that's the case?
I would anticipate that's the case, unless there was another coyote pulled out of the lake last week and that one did go to a rehabilitator. But I would assume that they would want to test the one that bit the child for rabies. And testing an animal for rabies involves taking a sample of its brain material. So it's a lethal test. So they're probably going to euthanize that one to test for rabies. But I'm also, just like you are, looking forward to hearing the report of what they did with it.
Yeah. All right. So one of the interesting things, I was looking at your website earlier, and you have suggestions for how people can keep coyotes out of their yards. Again, not something I thought I was going to have to ever deal with here in Chicago, but yes, we are dealing with that. The coyotes, obviously, if you don't have a fenced-in yard, do you have any chance of keeping coyotes out?
You do. The first best chance is not attracting them. So we got a call from a resident last week who said, my neighbor is putting cat food out every night and I see the coyotes eating it. Do you have any information that you could type up that I could give to my neighbor? So we did that. So the first most important thing is, you know, the garbage bags that contain the, you know, meats from the kitchen and anything else coyotes might want to eat, to put those in a hard-sided can where they're not giving free meals to coyotes. And also to please not feed your pets outdoors, because one inadvertently feeds coyotes that way. So don't attract them.
And coyotes are not scavengers, right? They're picky about what they eat?
They will scavenge some human garbage, and they also hunt small prey.
Did I read that you lost a pet to a coyote?
I did. So I empathize really deeply. It was my childhood pet, and it wasn't a dog or cat. It was a rooster, and his name was Buck Buck. And we lived on a 5-acre farm in Wheeling, and Buck Buck was really cool. And every time I would stop walking, he would sit on my foot. And one day we came home, and there was just a pile of feathers on the ground.
Oh, God.
And, and a coyote running off, and it was really obvious that Buck Buck had, you know, been taken, been eaten by coyotes.
Oh, boy. So this is personal for you in a lot of ways, probably, right?
It is, and we hear from a lot of clients who've lost their small pets, and we empathize really deeply with them. And the best advice we have to protect pets is to walk them on a 6 to 8 foot leash. And if coyotes are seen in the area, to seek to haze the coyotes. Hazing is probably the most important thing to remind coyotes to be mannerly.
Okay, now hold on 1 second. Hold on. I want you to define that, but I got to take a quick time out here. And then can we do it on the other side? Can you?
Sure.
All right, hold on 1 second. I want to hear how one hazes a coyote. I'm sure it's not what you're thinking. Does not involve drinking, I don't think. Lauren Lapko, what's happening on the roads and the skies? It's Rokan Show right here on 720 WGN. We're talking with Rebecca Fife, and she's at a company that deals with coyotes, Landmark Pest Management. And what's interesting about Rebecca is that you deal with like the urban wildlife issue, right? Isn't that your specialty?
We do.
And that's,
yes, we help about 10,000 homeowners and community associations a year, just in Chicago and the 5 surrounding counties.
So it's when you say urban wildlife, the coyotes become a big part of that. And I know you guys are crazy busy right now because of the coyotes in the news. But what else is in that spectrum?
Raccoons, skunks, squirrels, possums, beaver, muskrat, mice and rats, as well as insect pests. Like ants, cockroaches, bed bugs.
Yeah. Yeah. And we don't have to get down to the insects. And like, let's stick with stuff with fur on it. All right. So back to the coyote thing. You were talking about making sure that if you have a, you know, for whatever outdoor space you have in your house, around your house, you want to make sure that you don't leave food out. You want to make sure that you haze the coyotes so they don't want to come to your property. What does that mean?
Have almost daily community lectures scheduled because people are so hungry for this information. And we do free lectures for any group of 15 people. So that's a community association, a library might schedule us. And what we're teaching is this exact curriculum, and hazing is really the center of that. And when we were, when people farmed and raised livestock, we were very accustomed to keeping coyotes off of our properties or destroying coyotes, and coyotes were fearful of people. But now people have the opposite behavior, and they actually behave deferentially to coyotes. So if you're out walking a small dog and you see a coyote, it might be your natural instinct to run away from the coyote or shy away in some way. Because that teaches the coyote to be more dominant and more aggressive toward humans. So what the right thing to do is to say, coyote, no, get out of here, stomp, clap your hands, try to look as big as you can. And the coyote will, you know, anthropomorphize, to attribute human emotions to the coyote, will say, this guy is crazy, and will go the other way. It will think that you're, you know, somewhat dangerous, not a direct threat to it because you're not, you know, cornering it or doing something that would make it aggress toward you, but you're showing that you're an unpredictable and potentially forceful element, and you're teaching it to give you a wider berth.
So, well, that's good if you're actually confronted by a coyote, right? But don't coyotes kind of avoid us anyway? I mean, unless they're being fed.
No, they don't necessarily avoid us anymore. So it's very common now that we get a call and someone tells us that a coyote, you know, frequently passes within 20, 30, 50 feet of them in their own yard or while they're walking their pets. And when we instruct those homeowners to haze those coyotes that are cutting through their properties, they say that when they implement that hazing, and the coyote just makes a sharp turn and darts away the other direction, that after a couple of times of doing that, that coyote might take a different path instead of going through their yard where they walk their small path.
So bigger dogs, are coyotes afraid of them?
You know, it depends. In pupping season, when coyotes are defending their territories more heavily, they might see a big dog as a threat and potentially attack it so that it's not a risk to their pups. But in general, a coyote will not view a large dog as a food source. So in the instance of small dogs, they're generally attacked but not killed, and they're attacked much less frequently than people's small dogs, cats that are allowed outdoors, or unfortunately, my pet rooster, Buck Buck.
Yes, I know. We're trying to think of what we can do for you and Buck Buck.
He is a beautiful rooster.
I've never really heard those words put together before, but okay, I get it. Let's talk about how people can create. You guys do traps, and this was amazing to me when I was reading about this, which is there are dens. This can happen to like a house, even in the city, where the coyotes will come in and they will den, especially, you know, a whelping mom or whatever it is, and they'll go underneath a house, they'll find their way underneath a staircase, however it works, right? And we've seen that with skunk, and we've seen that with possum and other things like that throughout time. But now coyotes, you would think, well, no, they wouldn't do that. They would go to some wooded area, but that's not the case. In the city, they're looking for niches like this, and you guys have a product for that.
We do. We have a process. So we're a scientific firm, so we do a lot of research and development. And the conventional traps that are on the market for coyotes in Illinois don't work that great. So you can use a cage-style box trap, but those are really hard to capture the adult coyotes with. If you put them outside of a den site, you usually only end up with pups. And then the other trap...
So why is that harder to get? Because they're smarter or because they're bigger?
Because they're smarter, because no matter how big we make that trap, and even if we play rabbit distress calls and use, you know, some raw chicken in there with the distress calls playing, we still generally just get the pups. And sometimes we'll get an adult, but it's really rare. It's not terribly effective for capturing adult coyotes. And then the other trap, the leg hold trap, is a high risk for accidental captures of deer, dogs, kids. And when that trap closes, it closes pretty hard. So while it certainly couldn't, amputate, a child's foot or hand, it could potentially break a bone. If a kid poked their hand in it, they could get a broken finger.
I don't like the idea. That's in all those movies where people are running around and all of a sudden they get caught in that thing. I don't like it.
Yeah. So that's not an acceptable option either. So what we've devised is when someone has a coyote denning under their stoop, their deck, or their shed, we install a box trap in a special way called a barricade set that forces the coyote into the trap. And the way that we do that is we excavate all the way around the structure by burying underground fencing in a trench that's 12 inches deep and goes 12 inches out and angles outward. And that way the coyote can't dig around the trap because the underground fencing, which is expanded steel, has been buried there. It's forced to go in the trap. And then we just empty the trap again and again until all the coyotes are out of there. And then we close up the last portion and remove the trap. And not only have we solved the coyote problem, but that homeowner, that community association or office will never get coyotes under that structure again, because the buried fencing will protect it, not just from coyotes penetrating beneath it, but any type of wildlife, raccoons, skunks, possums, woodchucks.
Things I never thought I would ever be discussing on the radio. To the phones we go, 312-981-7200. Mike, you're in Belvedere. Welcome to WGN.
Hey, Ro, how are you? Yeah, no, I caught the tail end, like, middle half of this, but couldn't agree more. We live out in Belvedere, because somewhat rural out here, and the hazing piece works very well. A little bit more aggressive. We were, like, bought a vacant home, and coyotes were using our yard as a game run, and they were actually full-on hunting the dogs. We had them at the sliding glass door, and I'm not sure if she recommended it, but I got so frustrated with it that we took a trip to Indiana and bought some black cat fireworks, which worked very well. Chicago, not so much. I get it.
thank you for understanding the problem.
No problem. That would probably freak some people out.
Yeah, often a black cat will return fire, right? I mean, that's the sort of thing. You drop that off, and God knows what else is going to come at you. But go ahead.
Indeed. But, yeah, I mean, I think there's a little more freak out on this whole thing than I understand that people have been bit. But, you know, I think it's just a lot of common sense preventative medicine as far as leaving food out, scraps. Making sure there's chains over the trash cans down there in downtown because I do work down there.
Yeah.
You know, food sources, things like that. But, yeah, no, good thing to have on to kind of calm everybody down in the city because, yeah, out in Belvedere, it's just preventative medicine and we keep them out.
Mike, thanks very much. Appreciate it. And Rebecca Fife, thank you so much. Director of Research at Landmark Pest Management. If people want to get a hold of you guys because it sounds like there are a lot of people trying to get a hold of you. Rebecca, thanks so much for being with us.